Normally with the development of El Niño, you expect to see the warm ocean temperatures in the surface of the oceans in the central and eastern Pacific. So you get warm water coming to the surface, and you expect the atmosphere to the winds on the surface to respond to that, and lock into each other in a sense and continue into a full event. But what we've seen is we had this pulse of warm water come to the surface, and then it's just gone out, and now can't be bothered. And it's all looking a lot less likely now that we actually will see an El Niño event develop. So that's
which would be
news.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so you expect that to be good news, but so we're not seeing strong indications of a hot and dry sort of spring into early summer from that.
Well, that would seemingly be good news or better news for farmers in southern Australia. You did say that there is still a chance. I think you've locked it in at 50-50 now.
So we've had, So we maintain this El Niño La Niña tracking service, or ENSO tracking service, and that's been at El Niño watch for quite a few months now. And that means there's about a 50% chance of El Niño developing. We haven't shifted that. So normally if you were expecting an El Niño event to develop, we would see an alert phase, which is a stronger indication, and then the declaration of actual event. But we've just kept it at watch phase for ages. But what we are seeing, despite the El Niño sort of waffling around, trying to make its mind up, we are still seeing continued indications of hotter and drier conditions for the rest of the year. So our outlooks for October, November, December have got a pretty strong likelihood of a dry and warm October, warmer than usual October, and then similar sort of thing for November, December, but not as extreme.
And is that right across South Australia?
It's more the case across the southern half of the state, so the agricultural areas and into the southern pastoral areas. It's a little more 50-50 up in the sort of the bulk of the pastoral districts.
And the southeast, which has sort of bucked the trend this spring to date?
Well, they bucked the trend through till August, but they actually had a fairly dry September down there. So, it does look like the southeast is probably going to be on the dry side as well.
You've also been having a look at the bushfire outlook. What can you tell us to expect in South Australia?
We're talking really about the areas around the Flinders Ranges and some parts of the southern pastoral districts. But in general, we're seeing a normal sort of fire season indicated in the outlook for this coming fire season. And that's, if you look across New South Wales, they're seeing quite a large areas of where there's the hot and dry conditions are contributing to extreme fire risk through a fair bit of the eastern states. And we've already seen some pretty early fire activity going off in the eastern states already.
So, Darren Ray, have you got any good news for anyone in South Australia?
I've been looking hard to try and find some good news.
Fast becoming the least popular person at the party, aren't you?
I have to keep saying, we can only call it like we see it. So, we've had some pretty good years in recent years. 2016 was a real cracker. It's pretty normal to see some drier and warmer years in the sequence. With the conditions we're seeing at the moment, it does look like the ocean temperatures warm up a bit off to the northwest of Australia through summer. And what that means, I think there's a pretty good chance we might see one or two decent summertime rainfall events, which is also a mixed blessing as well, because it means the farmers might need a bit more weed control, but it also can set things up for to have a bit of soil moisture going into the growing season for next year.
How's the soil moisture stacking up?
It's generally a bit on the dry side in South Australia and very dry across New South Wales and the eastern states. So, we've actually had some record heat for this year so far across a number of areas. So across Victoria and New South Wales and into the Mallee in South Australia. And, the very dry, that combination of the very dry conditions, has left soil moistures drier than what you normally expect coming out of winter and into spring. And that means, for people who are irrigating, they're probably going to need to use a bit more water push a bit more water into the system to get the most out of their crops this growing season.
It felt like during the winter we had some really big periods of wind across parts of South Australia, perhaps a little bit earlier in the year than what might have been expected. Does that mean, having experienced that wind in winter, we're off the hook for spring?
It's a really great observation, actually, because we did see some unusual weather patterns. So the ridge of high pressure was basically stayed a bit further south than usual. And that's contributed to the dry conditions, but also means, as you're suggesting, we were seeing some strong northerly winds a little bit earlier in the season than we would normally expect. And that, if that continues, that means we actually could actually contribute to probably a milder, sort of a closer to average or slightly milder summer in the second half of summer.
Okay, before we get to summer though, a lot of people cropping, hoping to make it through without too many frosts. Have you got anything on that front that we need to be wary of?
Certainly in the El Nino years, you do get higher numbers of frosts. But a lot of that actually comes from drier soils and the stronger high pressure systems, which we're by seeing both of those at the moment anyway. So regardless of, we haven't gone into it in the El Nino. So, we are seeing a little bit more frost already than you don't normally expect. And I'd say the frost risk is a bit higher through this, for the remainder of this year.
Cut for hay. Is that what you just said? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking along those sorts of lines. I know for sure. With the very dry September, that's probably cemented that sort of decision in people's minds. We've seen, a lot of locations have only seen sort of 10, maybe 20 millimetres of rainfall this September when they might normally get 50 or 60. So, it's really been a really dry month, and that's probably helped make the decision for people already.
Okay, and just to go back to where it all started with the El Nino, when will you make a final call on that?
It's really an ongoing sort of thing. It's still 50-50. We're starting to get late in the year for an El Nino to develop. So they typically start off in June, July, August. They have started as late as September, October. When they start this late, they tend to be weaker. So if it does get its act together and we do get there, it's likely to be a fairly sort of weakish one, and they're all gone by sort of March, April, May the following year. So, if it doesn't happen by sort of October, then it's you'd be fairly confident it's really not going to happen at all. My sense is the year is really developing a lot like 2014, where we saw hot and dry conditions. It had a go at El Nino, but didn't quite get there. And I guess one of the things to keep an eye out for is there is still a bit of warm water swishing around in the Pacific Ocean that could actually make it a little bit easier to go into El Nino next year. So as we go through autumn into winter next year. So that's one to keep an eye out for. And if that happened, we could have another... There's a possibility of another hot and dry year next year, which would actually, added on top of this year, would start having some really significant impacts.